Blog Talk Radio.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Alua Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we invite you to participate in our monthly conference calls. To be able to do so, please reach out to us via email at signothetimes19@gmail.com. Again, our email address is signothetimes19@gmail.com. We are looking for additional radio hosts here at New Power Radio Network, so we invite you to get involved and participate. When I started doing Blog Talk Radio, I had absolutely no experience, and some days I think I still don't. But it gets easier the more you do it. And so, you know, we welcome newcomers, anybody that has always wanted to express their opinion but did not have the airways or ability to do so. We welcome you to be a part of the Sign of the Times family and New Power Radio Network. And if you choose to become involved in the UAC, that would be excellent as well, because that is our parent sponsor. We also ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture. Please reach out to James Jones as James Jones, as well as his Facebook page of Manhood, Race, and Culture. Also, please support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled UNITEE. Please reach out to him on Facebook as Arlie Gordon and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. So tonight we're going to be, adhering to our vision and mission, if you will, here at Sign of the Times, and that is to have intellectual, spiritual, and analytical dialogue in an atmosphere of love and mutual respect. And so tonight we have Aberisha joining us here in a few minutes. So she's needs a few minutes to get situated and get online here. So in the meantime, I'd like you to enjoy some Earth, Wind, and Fire. This is Queen Tahira. You're listening to Sign of the Times Radio, brought to you by the UAC and New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back. peace, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We are waiting on our guest to join us. She was delayed due to some situation at home, so I'm sure she's going to be joining us shortly. So if you would like to come in queue, you can push 1, or you can listen to another spin of Earth, Wind, and Fire. So enjoy the next song, and if you'd like to push 1, feel free to do so. We can chat a little bit until she gets here. If not, we'll open up the mics as soon as Abarisha arrives. Thanks. Peace.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. Tonight, we have the honor of having Aberisha Khalees Renee join us. I'm going to go ahead and open up her line now. Peace, sis.
Divine peace and blessings, sister. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for calling in. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I can't complain. It's a pleasure being with you all tonight. I appreciate the invitation.
Ashe, Ashe. I'm glad to have you. You know, we've been Facebook friends for quite a while, exchanged a few jokes and had a few laughs, and you happen to also sometimes offer readings to people, and you ask for numbers and things like that. So, you know, we've had a Facebook relationship. Now we get to actually speak to one another and begin to build in this way. So although folks say what they say on Facebook and the World Wide Web and social media, you know, breaking down some communications, I know that you and I probably, you know, would have not met the same way if it had not been for social media. So I'm honored to have you. I'm excited Indeed. About tonight's broadcast. And so, you know, I want the listeners to hear a little bit about you. You know, let us know, you know, who you are. And your name is so unique. Can you tell the listeners where you got your name from and where it originated and who blessed you and gifted you with that name?
Okay. Okay. So my name is actually three parts. Okay. Aberisha, I took on and back in 2012 when I first started, you know, my IFA practices with, or studies, put it that way. I was being introduced to IFA and Vodun by the divine prince Tiamaka. And I adopted that name because I come to understand that it meant student of the Orishas. And I believe that we are constantly learning, that there is so much to learn in one life that there is it's impossible to learn everything. So I held that name really close to me, Aberisha, okay? And Khalees. Khalees is my actual birth name given to me by my grandmother, my Nana. And what she told me that name meant is, you know, that we're all here, you know, sharing pretty much a spiritual relationship, and that we are here for a time. It's not forever. So that name I hold dear to me because it has helped me on my spiritual path. When I was younger, I was like, oh, wow, what am I going to do with this name? And I was never ashamed of it. Even when, you know, people would tease my name, they would say collard greens and Khalees better call the police and stuff like that. So I was never really ashamed of my name. It was quite funny, you know, the nicknames I was given. But I always knew and held dearly to me, you know, the actual meaning my grandmother gave to me with regards to my first name. Okay. And Renintet is the name that I got from a book. It was my very first book when I decided to release religion from my life. I purchased a book called Spiritual. What is the brother's? I had that book so long ago, it's been some years. Spiritual Warriors Are Healers. Omfundishu. Judums. One of those names, something like that. And mm-hmm. I read his book front to back, and I studied that book. He, you know, taught me some Swahili. He taught me some, you know, Meruneter in that book as well. And as I came into the community, you know, I adopted that name and kept all three of those names, you know, all three of those names now I've had together for about 3 years, but I had previous names. I've changed my names often as I grow spiritually, and I'll get into that later because there are some people in your audience now that are going through the same change that I've gone through many times. So how I came to this this spiritual path. Wow. It began when I was really young. I think my first outer body experience, I was maybe eight or nine years old. I was tortured with nightmares as a child. You know, I was a child that could watch Scooby-Doo, and in my dreams I'm being, you know, molested by an alien. I had my first Ouija board at 16. My first, you know, precognitive premonition came to me when I was 14 of a shooting amongst friends that would come some three years later. So my family is a mixture of Christianity and superstition, along with a hint of, I would say, witchery, because it's always been there. We've had, you know, most families that have that Christian background, they have the superstitions, which, you know, were once part of a system of magic, mm-hmm. or a system of belief that we had to either let go because of the harshness we would receive for practicing what we've always known. And so a little bit of it trickled down into the family through the women, mostly, quite a few women. But they weren't able to embrace it because of the brainwashing of Christianity being so deeply embedded in their being, in their walk in life, and, you know, the fear mostly of hell is what kept them away from spirituality. And my mother, as I was saying, she started off first with the precognitive dreams. She started off first with the speaking with the deceased in her sleep. And she never went back to, you know, that spirituality that our ancestors once knew. And she doesn't know the power of it, but she knows that there's power in what it is I do, you know, that it may be foreign to her, so to speak, within depth information and knowledge and practice, but it isn't a stranger to her. So my mother used to teach me how to combat on the astral plane when I was a child, because she too would experience nightmares and terrors. Come to find out some years later, I was just traveling different realms. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, something that, you know, when you're pretty much say, oh, I was fighting those demons in my sleep last night. Now I don't say that, you know. I don't say that now. I say, you know, well, I think I went to another galaxy, you know, because I didn't see anyone that looked like me, or, you know, just traveling in unfamiliar territory. Okay. And it's not to say that I believe that aliens are green or anything like that. It's just the energies of some beings are really heavy. They're able to change form. And sometimes you might just run into a being, a shapeshifter, mm-hmm. some people call them, you know,
yeah.
on the astral plane. So, yeah, that's how it all started with me. I think what really hit it off for me was me having to bury my own child. Me having to bury my own child and having those dreams before it happened. But because I was so Islamic and so religious, because I had converted, you know, I didn't want to face, you know, having to deal with it, and I didn't want to know how to prevent it. So, you know, afterwards, I said, you know what? I got to get up off this horse called religion, you know, and investigate what spirituality, what I'm experiencing, is all about. Okay. So that's how I ended up on this path, and it's been a wonderful experience.
Okay.
It's been a really wonderful, yeah.
As you've expressed, you've always had what people consider instinct and, you know, gut feeling, if you will, on certain things. And, you know, it started off at a young age, which is not uncommon with people who are gifted, spiritually gifted, a little more than others. It's uncommon for it to start at a young age. But as you experienced and as you expressed that your mom experienced, sometimes it's not easy to know quite what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when to act on it. And so, you know, what, I guess, how old were you when you finally, like, decided that, you know, this was the best path for you? And what advice would you give to others who may be, you know, getting those feelings or getting those intuitions and are, you know, not quite sure what to do?
Okay, so I heard the first part of your question. The second part was a little shifty. I think it's
okay.
It sounds a little digital.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, sometimes we have problems here on Blog Talk, so I apologize for that. But the first question was, okay, you know, what age were you when you decided this was 100% the way you wanted to go? I know you mentioned some earlier experiences. And two, what can you say to people who might be experiencing what you were experiencing before you set on this path to embrace it and I guess not have that fear that we've been taught to have when we hear about African spirituality?
Awesome questions. Awesome questions. When I finally decided that this would be the path for me, I was 33 years old. Okay, I was 33 years old. For 3 whole years, I had forgotten. I had transitioned, well, you know, ascended from 33 to 34 and 35. I had been stuck at 33 years of age when I decided that spirituality my way was going to be my way. And it's definitely a struggle, okay? And I mean that. I recall, you know, my birthday coming up the following year after turning 33. And I said, you know, I'm 33 years old. My mother's like, no, honey, you turned 34. And I'm like, Mom, stop playing. You know, it had been a number that I had seen over and over and over again. Triple threes, double threes, sevens. You know, I started studying master numbers and numerology. I even started, you know, looking into angelic numerology and things of that matter for inspiration, for understanding. Life path numbers, I started researching, you know, life path as well. So I started off with numbers. I started there because I was 33 years old for 3 whole years. After, you know, studying numerology, I decided to get my feet wet, and I was a huge lottery player. So at one time, I just was like, listen, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to see if I can actually win. And so I started, you know, divining numbers with pendulums and pieces of paper torn in squares with numbers on them so that I can pick the right number. And a lot of times, I was really close to winning. You know, came shy of winning or won a small amount. So I was getting good, but I said, it's not enough, you know, and I just gave up on it. What advice I would give to, you know, newcomers to spirituality is, I'm going to use the term magic because I know a lot of our people tend to look at magic in a negative manner. It's kind of associated with witches and warlock and Hollywood. And it is the same outlook that a lot of us give to Ifa, Santeria, you know, Palo Mayombe. Most of the time they see wickedness. you know, they say, hey, it's not for me. What I can say is this: the best magic you could ever perform for yourself is that magic which improves and enriches your life. And you cannot be, you can't have a feeling of guilt when you've actually put in work to manifest and to reap and sow. You know, after you've sowed seeds, you want to reap those benefits. You can't feel guilty about receiving what it is you've pretty much asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, they challenge magic. They say, you know, it didn't work. You know, that was just me. You know, that wasn't an Orisha. That wasn't Aloha. That wasn't earth elements. That wasn't metals. It wasn't these incense and candles. That was me. And yes, it was you. But to look at everything that you incorporate and use as tools in your magic to amplify, to further concentrate, to put your entire body, because everything that is outside of us is within us, to put your entire body into a ritual that is meant to manifest your desires, no matter how long or short this ritual is, how many tools you use or how little tools you use during a ritual, it's still you incorporating what's above, you know, so below, what's within, so without, that is you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the message here is to embrace, you know, to embrace, you know, all forms of hidden information, because it's all us, all of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of it. It's everything that, you know, a person of that's non-black, put it that way, everything that a person that non that is non-black studies is a black thing. We came first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is nothing new under the sun. So every new finding, every new system of magic, it was ours first. It was ours. So we have to learn how to reclaim everything that we've accomplished in the worlds before this America, okay? How to embrace, you know, animal spirits, elemental spirits, metal spirits, water spirits, air spirits, fire spirits, okay? All of that outside of us is inside of us. So it's just a lot. It's a lot.
It is. It is. And, you know, all of us are on some type of journey, spiritual or otherwise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had lots of discussion here on Sign of the Times about how truly powerful we are as a
mm-hmm.
people, but we've forgotten about it. And what I'm noticing is that there are more and more people, the new conscious, if you will, community seems to be an uptick in embracing our spirituality to the core,
mm-hmm.
you know, following our instincts, becoming godlike in, you know, our earthly body and manifesting things that we want and need to happen in our lives, be they good and bad. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm connecting more and more with more of those people. And my spiritual journey was similar to Islam for 19 years, but I studied Quran and nothing but Quran. I never went to masjid or anything like that. But then I came to metaphysics and then studying some things from Dr. Blair, was initiated into Ifa. And so my spiritual journey has continued to grow and grow and grow and grow. And thing, even if it is something that folks would perceive as being negative, you find it in you to make your way through those journeys. And I'm sure that if we as a community start started to look at things, you know, have a gradual paradigm shift, you know, because it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. And so we need to start to have that gradual paradigm shift, and I'm seeing it happen. But what I'm wondering from you is that what are you saying? What, last night there was a total eclipse on, you know, one portion of the United States. All of those things, you know, as above, so below, as you mentioned, all of those things have an effect on us, but it's how we choose to use it. So what are you saying? What do you think the spiritual temperature is right now for us as African people?
Solar plexus energy. The need to stand in power, know who you are, know your boundaries. You know, allow yourself to be an individual within a group. Stand up for what you believe in. You know, there's a lot of competition out here, and there are a lot of people just competing. And that is a problem we have. There should be no need to compete. To compete with other people is an insecurity and an inferiority complex. So that is something we have to eliminate from our lives, okay? Because right now, you know, there is an upgrade of spiritual growth taking place in the world right now, okay? And the confrontation and competition go hand in hand because of deep-rooted beliefs, rather be racism, misogyny, religious pandering. You know, it's all causing stagnation. Oppression, inferiority, superiority, education, higher education. People are being pulled into new lives, yet they fight the process because they're afraid of losing love. They're afraid of losing friendship. They're afraid of losing support. They're afraid of losing safety. What was the truth for people yesterday will not be the truth for them tomorrow. Okay, so they have to start dealing with some true feelings and start releasing those things that no longer work to serve them. That is that transition that everybody's going through, that reflection, especially with the solar eclipse we just, the new moon, which I call a dark moon, because most people work dark magic during dark moons. It is blotted out. You can hardly see it. But this time, it blocked out the sun. Okay? So there's something to look at there. Those energies coming down are from Venus, and they are coming from Isis. So Isis is also, you know, in conjunct with Venus, which is Venus energy. We're working with creativity here. So we have to start looking at how we're speaking, you know, what we're thinking. We have to start listening to the music, you know, paying attention to the words and the music we listen to, okay? Let me also say that it's a huge denial thing in the way things are really are right now, okay, from a grand scale to the most minuscule scale, okay? Any future plans people have right now are pretty much superficial ones. And they're clearing out. And the most important needs, such as gardening, such as spirituality, those energies are coming in. Okay? There are people right now that over the past month or so have been experiencing ringing in the ears and stuff like that. That's a vibration. Okay, that vibration, it reaches through to your crown chakra and enters your body, and this is that initiation, okay? It's an initiation, a planetary initiation, okay, of that ancient power of sound, creativity, healing, okay? It's like when I talk about Isis, because if you think about it for a minute, they've been talking about ISIS, you know, being this terrorist group and trying to get everyone all afraid. That's to shut down your chakras. is to shut down your chakras, because Isis is the energy that's coming in and making people get naked and dance on top of trucks. Okay? Isis is the one that got people thinking they on mollies. No, not every. You can tell when a person is actually, you know, on a molly as opposed to, you know, because they're a bit convulsive and catatonic as opposed to somebody percolating in the middle of the damn street.
Yes.
You know, it's a difference when somebody stripped naked, walking to the store and start, you know, two-stepping. And this person possibly had a normal life before before they drove. And there were two incidents of women being on a highway, and out of nowhere, they hear something in the air. It's music. It's sound. It's the sound of the earth. It's the sound of the planets moving, and they get to jamming. They stop their car. They get out on a highway. They strip some of them, and they just start dancing. That is Isis energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is the time when words and music, you know, will be, you know, it's increasingly important on your spiritual path. And healing, okay? The types of music, the music that brings good memories, chants, mantras, drums, anything that makes you feel good. And sometimes we find ourselves being a little more prejudiced towards, you know, sounds or lyrics that are promoting a certain, but those people aren't exempt from receiving these energies either.
Okay.
They're not exempt.
That's right.
Because, yeah, they're not exempt. Just because they listen to it doesn't mean that the earth breaths aren't in the music. It doesn't mean that they don't hear the planets moving. It doesn't mean that they don't hear the heartbeat of the Great Mother. Okay? It doesn't mean that the cosmic universe isn't speaking to them through sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, they're not exempt. It is a great time to, and I think that time is actually coming where we will start correcting lyrics, you know, and the music that we listen to. We have no other choice. Trap music is on its way out the door, you know.
Absolutely.
Mothers are tired of burying their babies, their children.
That's right.
Women
right.
are tired of burying their husbands. Yesterday, between 1:30 and 7:45 here in Philadelphia, there were 6 shootings in 6 different Philadelphia neighborhoods. Well, actually, I'm going to say 6 murders, because they weren't all killed by a bullet. One man was just walking around. He stabbed 3 people. One of them died. And these were random people. So he pretty much walked the streets and, you know, was just stabbing people. He actually got into a car of a man that was parked and jumped in his car and pretty much started poking the man with his knife while he sat in his own car.
Wow.
Yeah. So I want to talk to the brothers, too, you know. Definitely want to talk to the brothers. Say that again.
I said, feel free. The floor is yours.
Okay. Let me say, we have a lot of brothers in darkness, because we had six brothers die yesterday. You know, we had six killers that were brothers. Okay. I want to say that whenever negativity, you know, or negative energy is present, it's a sign that, you know, you are ready to move into a divine feminine power. See, because our brothers are used to the mantra, having to be strong. Sometimes you have to go into your feminine mind and actually grasp hold to compassion. Okay? If there, you know, there are negative energies pretty much within and outside of our men right now, you know, a lot of that energy is being directed towards our men, you know, that is just not feeding their spirit. But this is a test. It's a test. Everything that we're going through right now with our men, as far as the police brutality, our youth killing themselves, you know, over silly stuff, spiritual tests. Okay? You have to stay in heart, of course. You know, it's no need to be afraid or have any fear of what's to come, because it's not going to be pretty, okay? This whole entire world, I'll get into that in a bit, okay? But there is a need for compassion, but there is no need for more conscious, loving responses. And what I mean by that is hands up, don't shoot. When we go out here and we march and we rally and we riot, the chants that we're using are submissive, insecure, inferior. And remember, we were talking about manifesting and using words that empower you as opposed to using words and music, for by example, that pretty much devalue you. Okay? So in the story of ISIS, the destruction or the destructive emotions of her brother, Set, led to the murder of her husband, Osiris. He didn't stop there. He also attempted to destroy her son, Horus, and deny him his birthright and rulership. One thing Set teaches us from this story is that destructive emotions can gain awful power if we leave them unchecked and do not consciously respond to them. Okay? So it's the time to let go of the conscious begging and pleading for our lives and conscious begging and pleading for the lives of our sons and husbands and brothers and cousins and uncles. We women, too. We have to stop. Like, prime example, Black Lives Matter, okay? Not saying that their intentions are a bad one. They're not bad at all. It's just that we have to start thinking from a magical mind. When we speak magic and we want to manifest change in our lives, we have to start thinking words that will change the future in our chants, at our lectures, at our rallies. Okay? So ISIS pretty much teaches us for yourself, life, your woman, your child, your freedom, faith in your walk in this life, and the reason why you were born, and your soul having a right to be here, to be persistent. You can't afford to fall back to sleep. You have to remain courageous. You have to be intelligent, and honest awareness can overcome just any darkness. When we accept something for what it is, we know that racism hasn't died. That's a good example. We know racism hasn't died. We know that it hasn't gone anywhere. We know why they do what they do to us. But have we started to think of why we allow them to do that to us, knowing who we are? Okay? So we have to start flipping the script, okay, and just rise above the fear and be courageous, okay? the anger and jealousy and hatred that we have sometimes within us or directed towards us right now is what we're dealing with. We preach, you know, most of us preach self-love all day, you know. Every chance we get to think about self-love, or if someone's on Facebook with a blonde wig, oh, she doesn't love herself. You know, if he has his pants down below his butt and he has a hole in his underwear, he doesn't love himself. You know, we have to start having faith in our lives. And I don't mean faith as in a religious thing. We have to have faith in knowing that they, like when, what's his name, Samuel L. Jackson started that, you know, I can't breathe. We got to start having faith that when I was born, I was supposed to breathe, and I was supposed to have breathed a whole lot easier than what I'm breathing right now. And I'm going to breathe easy.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. So we just have to transmute the negative energy directed towards us, the negative energy within us. Okay. We don't have to wear other people's fear. Okay.
That's right.
And it happens a lot. It happens a lot. You see, sometimes we be on Facebook, we just be browsing through our feeds, and you see like 15 police brutality videos, and you sit there and you watch 13 of them. And now you picked up somebody else's fear. Whereas, though, your ancestors have provided a way for you to protect yourself, your family, your income, your home, and we ignore it. You know, we ignore that route. Oh, it's wickedness. It's demonic. It's the devil. You know, and we need to start turning towards it more often. We have to find ways to protect ourselves. The first line of defense when things hit the fan, because I'm going to tell you something, Trump is not thinking of just building that wall to keep Mexicans out. There is going to be calamity within the United States. The violence might just get a little thicker. The landmass and geographical areas around and within the United States is going to change. And people are going to be fleeing to where they think hope is. People are going to be fleeing to where they think the big dream and safety is. And America is going to be one of the first places most foreigners think of, because of how America has hyped itself up to be. So Trump knows that he has to build that wall not to just keep Mexicans out, but to keep other foreigners fleeing, you know, refugees, you know, fleeing from war and famine out of the United States. The land mass in the United States is also changing. You know, it's soaking up a whole lot more water in some places. And tell you the truth, I believe it was the almanac of maybe 1976 that said eventually California would no longer exist. It would drop into the ocean. And when you think about it, you know, part might be due to, you know, Fukushima and whatever else geographically was taking place as far as the, you know, tectonic plates and stuff like that, and the many earthquakes California has. You know, Japan, they might not even be an island anymore in Japan over the next 10 to 15 years. You know, eventually, you know, after Fukushima, the tsunami and earthquake and all of that stuff that took place on that island, you know, the landmass is totally different. Some parts of Japan's island, when you walk on it, where there was dirt and cement, you know, that gave you a pavement, you're walking on, like, Q-Bert boxes. You remember the game Q-Bert, right?
Yeah. Mhm.
Where you jump on a square and the square moves, you know?
Yeah. Mhm.
You're like one slab of semen away from falling into the ocean. That's why a lot of them are going into Africa. So it's a lot of stuff taking place. A lot of stuff, and that will continue to take place. Let me go back to the brothers. Okay? Self-expression and movement. Now, the sisters, we out there with this Isis energy, and we pretty much get naked and twerking everywhere and all of that stuff. But our brothers have an expression in their body language that I'm not sure if people know how important body language is. And when you're disconnected from your body language, people have a hard time understanding you because they read your gestures wrong. You can be the most kindest person, you know, and if you have a certain walk, you're misunderstood because your body expression and that urban environment that we, majority of us, have grown up into taught us to have a, you know, have a dip when we walk. You got to have swag and things like that. And I'm not saying that we have to appeal to people. What I'm pointing out is body language. Body language is important. It's important for people to be able to read you right. You know, I see my son, you know, I have sons. I see my sons walk in a certain way. I know that when they were babies, they didn't have that walk. You know, they didn't have that walk. They had an innocent walk. And now they're older. They bob, they dip. They stretch that leg out a little longer, you know. They got that swag. But your body language is saying something about you that may not be of you, okay? You have to get that balance back. You have to allow your body to express what's true to your heart, okay? You know, men have to start dancing more. American men used to dance. It ain't too many American men that dance anymore. And those that started dancing, they started this thing where you would harass them and, you know, oh, you gay. You couldn't even be an R&B artist in Philadelphia during like the mid to late 90s because they were like, oh, you're gay because you didn't rap. We have to allow people to express their joys their way without putting them in the box. And men have stopped dancing. And not all men that could dance were homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Some men couldn't even dance, but they would get up and dance anyway. And
right.
I say this to say... You know, brothers got to start dancing more because you got to start having an outlet for joy.
Mm.
You have to start having an outlet for joy. And joy may be a feminine aspect. Really? I don't want to say that. Are our men too tough to have joy in their life? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all human beings are capable of having an outlet of joy in our lives. One of the things we can do when we are, you know, expressing ourselves in movement is dancing because it's a universal language of body, mind, and soul that allows you to balance your chakras. It releases pent-up emotions, and it gives yourself an outlet for joy. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to, you know, if you want to make your dance meaningful so that you can feel more connected with you know, consciousness, then having your mind when you're dancing that you're doing this for exercise, that you're doing this to ground yourself, that you're giving thanks, that you're showing gratitude, that you're blessing your ancestors, okay,
mm-hmm.
or you're blessing your very own soul, and that you're expressing spirit. Those are some of the things you can have in mind. Man, my brother, you know, when you dance, y'all got to dance. I said my next husband will be a man that can dance. Okay.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I have to have a brother that can dance, okay? I don't care if he two left feet. He better get up off that floor. He better get up off that wall and come dance with his woman.
I know that's right. So,
okay.
Arisha, let me ask you about frequency. You know, as we're speaking on music and dance and the vibrations and things like that, a lot of the hip-hop music is at a lower frequency. And frequency therapy is something that is very real. You can find videos on YouTube and things like that that you can listen to that will help elevate your spiritual inner core. So can you talk a little mm-hmm. a little bit about the importance of frequency and the difference between even the music now versus when brothers used to dance more? You know, maybe if the
mm-hmm.
frequency was different, they'd be inspired a little more. So, you know, I saw a lot of people dancing to that happy song. I mean, even though that song gets on my nerves, you know, and we
mm-hmm.
seem to hear it every time at the grocery store. You know,
when you think about it, I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay.
You can go. Yeah.
See, there is an all-inclusive thing going on right now. We're pretty much able to adapt to anything, and we have been adapting. But this is an all-inclusive upgrade that we're receiving, that now you can see some white folk with some rhythm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're due for an
mm-hmm.
upgrade, too. It's not always just about us sometimes. And
mm-hmm.
they deserve, too, an upgrade, you know, to higher consciousness. They need it the most.
Yes, Lord.
So now you have artists like, okay, they need it the most so that we can get a break and we can go back to being who we are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have artists like Beyonce that people can't stand listening to. But I'm going to tell you something about Beyonce. If you listen to a lot of her beats come from old school. A lot of her dance moves are old school. When I hear the song or see the video, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Then it made me think about, hey there, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. What's the difference?
Uh-huh, that's right.
No
that's
difference.
Right.
Hey, Mr. Postman. You know, that's where it's at. Pop music. What has really gone to the spoils is rap. It used to mean rhythm and poetry. Okay? Hip hop used to be a whole lot more political.
Mm-hmm.
So we have pretty much shut down our likes and don't likes over lyrics when still these frequencies that come in, even though the lyrics may attract our lower selves, the
mm-hmm.
music, the sound and the frequency in the music is still for us. When we, you know, our people like to dance. We have to dance,
mm-hmm.
you know. I like music that makes me want to pop, you know. And pop
mm-hmm.
my fingers and tap my foot, you know, make me do something strange. I even like that stuff. You know how Drake was making all them little funny moves. Sometimes you be in the house cleaning and you just sweeping with your broom and you're doing all kinds of stands and using the broom as a microphone. And, you know, sometimes you want to be,
that's
you know,
right. that's,
sometimes you want to be,
right.
you know, Liberace. Okay. Sometimes you want to be, what's his name? I was in the house singing it earlier today. I was like, smokestack lightning. You know, sometimes it's whatever it is that brings and opens up a center of joy within you.
Sex is joyful.
Sex makes the world go round. If people just stop having sex, there will be nobody to complain about on this daggone planet. So, okay, we have music now that makes people go out here and kill each other. No, people make you go out there and kill them.
Yeah.
You know, people make you go out there and kill them. You know, I don't know of a situation here in my town specifically, with the exception. It's no telling what that man had been going through before he decided to walk the street and try and take three lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it was somebody that pissed him off.
I would guarantee it.
Yeah. Okay. So I can't blame everything on music and lyrics, because the reality of the situation is, if I wasn't going through what I was going through, I wouldn't have a need to write the lyrics to this song.
That's right.
That's the reality, and a lot of us don't want to look at that reality. The only way that we can really change that reality for real, though, is dealing with the root cause of the problem. But that time is coming. We're getting help, but it's a slow motion thing. It ain't going to happen overnight. We just got to stay courageous. Sex is good. So you see females percolating and twerking and all of that, and it might be inappropriate in the supermarkets and all of that stuff, but ain't nobody asked you to look at that video.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure she ain't got no tumors in her behind when she do that. Okay. I mean, it's a lot of stuff I don't like, but what I do like is positive outlets for people most than anything. And I know I have children that listen to music that I don't like and appreciate, but I like PNB Rob or something like that. He's saying, my city needs something, you know, people killing people over nothing. I don't know what it is. You know, that's my joint. PNB Rock. That's his name. PNB Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's crying about in his song pretty much what's happening in his area. He was like, why don't we just stop the violence and, you know, start looking for these missing babies? You know, and his lyrics. People are getting fed up. Trap music is being laid to rest eventually. I give it another 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I give it another 5 years because pop music is what's selling right now, because people don't want to be sitting there, you know, stressed and worried. They want to dance off some stress.
That's right.
Okay. And if they just decide to hook up with somebody later, that's their business.
Right.
You know, they're grown folks.
Yeah. Not all afford to go to the gym either. And, you know, dancing is a great way, like you said, to energize and get your blood flowing. And, you know, it is a great to, you know, not only burn off calories, but just express yourself, you know. And that's one thing we had Brother on Sign of the Times as well before, and he talked about the hippie movement. And, you know, as you said, there was a high energy during that movement, and there are certain beings who knew that that movement needed to be shut down, and they did everything they could to infiltrate it and make sure that that energy was pretty much extinguished, not extinguished totally. You know, the flames are still kind of smoldering, and it's starting to reignite. And so I think this time, that what makes this time different is that, one, you know, we have the ability to communicate with each other, you know, more so than we did. But two, I don't think people are going to let it go this time, you know, because they've seen what happens when you do. Consequences of bad decisions that we've made as a community. And so those are the kinds of things that we talk about here on Sign of the Times. Those are the kinds of things that keep us on the air, because, you know, we've struggled. You know, we've been on the air for 3 years, and we've struggled during those 3 years to stay consistent. And it's been a lot of work, but, you know, just conversations like this, make all of the blood, sweat, and tears that it took to get this far, you know, worth it. And so, I appreciate, again, the time to be with us tonight. And I want to have you back, and I also want to be respectful of your time, because I know that, you've got children at home and you're a mom and all that kind of good stuff, and I respect that. So I just want to know if any callers have something that they'd like to ask. You know, now is the time to push one. If not, then we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap up for tonight. But, I'd like to ask you to please consider, coming back on the air with us, especially as we proceed to continue to build. So you've got a caller in queue, sis. Hold tight.
Okay.
Peace, Brother Mandela Khan. Welcome to Sign of the Times. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Much love, much respect to both of you queens of all queens right there.
I
just really like to say that everything is falling into place. You know, the celestial bodies on Earth is falling into place. The sun, the moon, the stars, they lining up for something spectacular in the universe, so we might as well get in where we fit in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by you bringing forth what you're bringing forth tonight, and definitely we want to have this great one here, because when our first concept coming to you was the Night of the High Priestess. And we have Cassidy Smith, Unique Smith up in Denver, Monique Belizea in Connecticut, and River Magic I Am in Florida. And there are several others who's on the dossier at a Pan-African Intelligence Network. Of course, you haven't met them yet, but you have met them. And this righteous one that you have there. And, you know, we had yesterday, tomorrow, the Goddess Speaks, which is a recent installment inside of Sound of Time. And tonight, you know, after we get off this program, 8 o'clock, the Royal Family Network is going to be I Am Her, EYE, Am Her, being installed exclusively and exactly for the transition of power, which the patriarch is gradually being eroded, and the matriarch will be returned back to its former place as it relates to where the human family goes from. So, you know, in the Royal Family Network tonight, it would be good to tune in. And everybody, it's a beautiful thing that the mothers, grandmothers, and the great-grandmothers are about to take their place on Earth so that everyone can stop the line, stealing and killing, and we can bring in live and let live and one love, you know. So I would really like to say this is very important times and exciting times in which we live. It's also a very dangerous time if we don't do exactly and precisely what the spirit of truth, the whole truth and nothing but, calls for. So without further ado, I'd just like to give that number, 347-855-8950, where tonight will be installed I-E-Y-E, Am Her. And Empress Michelle L. will be installing that exclusively and precisely for this guest that's here tonight, and all the other mothers and grandmothers and the great-grandmothers of this country. So all I can say to that is much love, much respect.
I say. Thank you, Brother Mandela Khan. And, sis, you know, we do, as Brother Mandela Khan said, on Thursday nights here on Sign of the Time, we have a dialogue called Goddess Speaks, which is a combination of our existing program, Sisters of the Soul, and the Pan-African Intelligence Network's Goddess Speaks. So, you know, if you're ever available on a Thursday night, that's a standing broadcast that you're more than welcome to participate in. And we also, as Brother Mandela Khan mentioned, are partners with a new group of Block Talk Radio hosts called the Royal Family Network. So we're going to be joining them after we get off the air with you tonight. So, again, thank you, Brother Mandela Khan, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Do you have anything that you want to say to the listeners? Give folks some spiritual homework, some things that they can do to, better enrich their spiritual core.
Okay. So one thing that's really popular among people that are awake and among our people in general, because we give our children nicknames, you know, as we become conscious and aware, we choose spiritual names. Names hold power. Okay. It defines, you know, and it defines energies, and sometimes it limits energies. Okay. The names, faces, and roles you play are just one part of your being, you know, yet you exist beyond those names as a vast being. Okay, so you're currently, some of you in a listening audience, and some of you that'll be listening later, are currently releasing things that are not, you know, going to uphold that identity that you once had. You're transitioning into you're transmuting, and you're pretty much getting that upgrade. So your name, some of you have been thinking about changing your names. You're currently releasing that you are not limited by previous identities that you once held, okay? So instead, you are becoming more of your whole self. And I would just say, don't risk being stuck. Don't be afraid to change your name, wondering why, you know, hey, put out the notice on Facebook. Put out the notice to friends and family. I want to be known as, and my name means, you know, stand in power. There's just a lot of spiritual names on the inner planes that I'm getting right now that are being released to people. So there are going to be people on your Facebook pages that you might have known as like Solar Monet Isazel or something, and she's going to change her name. Or he's going to be Dark Knight Phantom Bliss or something, you know, and he's going to change his name. Because of these energies coming in, you know, the names are changing. Just find a name that truly fits you. One of the ways that you can actually do this is go into your heart chakra. Okay, some of us will be using sounds and phonetically speaking the names, or typing, writing, using the name phonetically on Facebook, and it'll be said in a way that it might sound like a mantra. Okay, that om. Okay, a lot of that is coming into play because of these energies. It's all alchemy. It's a transmutation that's going on right now because of a lot of sound and vibrational energy we're getting right now. So just when y'all start seeing it, say, well, yeah, Aberisha said it. You know, people are changing their names. Okay. I'm willing to give anyone a reading if they would like a reading. I have no problem with doing that. Oh, one more thing. Gardening. Some people have to, you know, there is healing in earth, okay? With things getting the way that they are right now and us seeing what's taking place in Venezuela, we have to take precautionary measures and start with a garden. It doesn't matter if the only thing you can grow in your garden is cabbage. As long as you have something, because you might have cabbage and your next door neighbor might have strawberry. And you can barter with your neighbor cabbage for strawberries. Your next neighbor might have string beans. She has strawberries and you have cabbage. Mm-hmm. You both can barter with her for string beans, okay? She gets strawberries and cabbage from you. You get string beans and strawberries from your other neighbors. Your neighbor around the corner might have some collard greens or some kale. Okay, we have to start looking at things where money is not really involved. And I have a money, I call it a money ritual, because for right now, the money system is still available for us. And I urge anybody that takes part in this money ritual to utilize it on a weekly basis so that they can achieve their goals and accomplish what it is they really need. If it is a piece of land, if it is a cow, whatever a person feels as if, you know, they truly need to consider themselves rich. Rich meaning not wealth, but rich meaning comfortable in life. Because when the monetary system is no longer available in America as we know it today, because things always change. And between China and India, I'm not sure who's going to actually, you know, win this monetary war that we have going on. But China has already dropped the dollar bill. China is buying up many of the businesses within the United States. And they're pretty much, I believe they purchased three cities in the United States. China has been getting a lot of infrastructure business from the United States under President Obama. So we really don't know where things are going to be going, if the yuan is actually going to be the next dollar bill, because we are in a lot of debt to China.
That's right.
And they have the capital. So we have to start thinking about the basic needs for living. We have to start thinking about really basic needs. I mean, what did our ancestors do? And that power in those lifestyles of then is what's going to empower us now. You know, because we cannot rule out another economic collapse. Okay? We can't rule it out. Who's to say Trump has been bankrupt and been cheating on his taxes for years. His father, mm-hmm. you know, ain't no telling what type of man he was. And what do you think he's going to do to America when he gets in office? He's a man that has a grudge against other rich, wealthy people because he's mm-hmm. not, he doesn't feel as intelligible as the other whites who are affluent. He's like the underdog of rich people. And he has a grudge against America's. And if he could collapse the elite, he will. He will do it just to spite them. He really doesn't care about black people. He cares about those white, rich people that pissed him off all his life. That's what his plight is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start looking into planning not just a physical garden, but a spiritual garden as well. We have to start looking at that symbol of the caduceus, which is the staff with the serpent, you know, swirling around on both sides of the caduceus. That's the caduceus
mm-hmm.
of that staff, okay? And seeing that as a merging of the physical with the spiritual. So not only do we have to garden our manifestations, we have to garden our in the physical as well. Okay, if I said that right. I think I said it right. We have to physically have a garden, and we have to physically start planting seeds so that they can manifest in our favor. You know, that's what I wanted to say. Okay, I think I'm done. I had a lot more to say, but I can go on for hours. And my children aren't here, so quiet. You know, I let them know I was you know, going to be on the air. And, oh, all right, I'll squeeze it in. Three stones I want your audience, most likely your audience already knows about this. Yeah, I don't doubt that not one bit. I think your audience pretty much knows about this. But for those who are new, three stones that I highly recommend you work with to build up your spiritual abilities, such as psychic abilities and things like that, is amethyst, selenite, and moldavite. Moldavite is a bit of an expensive stone, but it is well worth it because it activates all of the chakras. So there is anyone, you know, having problems with opening up that third eye chakra and they have amethyst and it's just not working for them, moldavite is said to be an alien stone, and it works. I'm wearing one right now, and my chest hasn't stopped vibrating since I put it on this morning. I love the energies. It's too powerful for some people, so if it makes you feel uncomfortable, then don't worry. But I highly recommend it. Selenite is another one. That is a stone that is actually named after the goddess. Even though this stone is like a clear quartz on one side and a pasty white on the other, or a chalky looking quartz on the other side, it is still a stone that symbolizes the goddess Selena. Selene, she was a dark, beautiful goddess. Okay, and that stone pretty much works with the third eye chakra. Okay, so it just clears all of the chakras as well as the moldavite does. It gives you clarity when needed. It neutralizes negativity. You know, it allows for telepathy. So say, for instance, you have children who are young, you want to keep up with them or whatever have you, and you want to work on telepathy with them, you would just buy them a little pendant, buy yourself a pendant, you know, meditate at home, sit in a circle and try and, you know, connect with each other with the use of the stone telepathically. Practice, 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 practice. And then as you go, as you all go out into the world, you'll still have that connection. It will never be broken. It'll never be broken. So selenite is a stone that I recommend. Amethyst is one of the most, you know, psychic stones of all. And it's also a protective stone. It helps you pay attention to your behavior and stuff like that, too. So amethyst is another stone I'd like to recommend. But I think I'm a, let me see, what time is it? Okay, it's 7:30. I'll probably stop there.
Okay, okay. Now, before you go, you know, mention the details on the money ritual you have coming up and let the listeners know how they can be a part of that.
Okay. All right, so I have a money ritual coming up. I think I touched on it a little bit about 10 sentences ago. We're pretty much, it's a mantra that we'll be using. We'll be incorporating candles and incense. We'll be using a yantra as well, or yantra. Okay, and what it consists of is meditation and the reciting of a mantra by the goddess that was recommended, you know, to me for the goddess Kamala, which is a Hindu goddess. And I'm pretty much like Constantine in a bit. You know, if you ever watched the TV show, he's like all over the place with magic. I have multiple backgrounds and studies when it comes to magic. So mantras is one of the, you know, backgrounds I have, and I'm using mantras and the use of candles and incense and meditation to actually help bring and manifest opportunities. And I'm sharing this with my group. I have a group. It's called Crows and Skulls. Crows pretty much are a female bird that is a bird that lives both in the physical and the spiritual planes. So it brings messages to and fro. They also speak. They're a really intelligent bird. And the skull is pretty much occultically, they represent, for me, the ancestors, death and rebirth. So a lot of times people see my logo for my group and they think, oh, it's satanic. No, it's not satanic. You know, I don't do the satanic thing. I don't even think that it exists the way people think it, you know, it did. But in my group is one way. You can ask our sister here, you know, Vanessa Sparks, to pretty much, you know, you can recommend people for the group, like anyone that would like to attend, because I did make it exclusively for the group. But anyone that would like to attend, you can contact, you know, your host and let her know, and she can, you know, request that I add you to the group so that you can have access to the materials and the instructions and guidance to, you know, perform this ritual in the comfort of your own home as a group with other people next Wednesday at the same time, which is really powerful. I like collective group meditations and group rituals. It helps. It helps.
All right. Well, thank you, sis. Thank you so much for, again, being on the air. And the door is always open to you. And like I said, if you are free tomorrow for Goddess Speaks, feel free to give us a call then as well. We're going to have Kelly Prather on, who's running for political office. So we're interested in hearing what she has to say, especially when it comes to her vision and platform. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're all over the place, too, trying to problem solve where we can and have dialogues like this that's going to help people bridge the gap so, you know, we can be better, help make
Indeed.
A difference for the next
well,
step. So, right. Thank you again, sis.
Well, I
appreciate
you. Welcome. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure. I like collabing with you. You asked some really great questions. You allowed me to speak, and I appreciate you. I really do. May the ancestors continue blessing you on your path And to all of your, you know, your people in attendance, divine peace and blessings to you all.
Ashe, likewise, sis. Well, I'll be in touch with you in a few here on Facebook, and I'm going to refer some people to you now. So thank you again, and join us tomorrow night, y'all, for 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. with Goddess Speaks, and we'll see you then. Thank you.
Will do. You're welcome. Peace.